Today's Tu B'Shvat, and in davening this morning, we left out Tachanun. In Yiddish folklore, they have the description, it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis, so Rosh Hashanah we blow shofar, and the Baal Tefillah wears a kittel, and he wears a white talus. And in Europe, the trees used to be covered, on Tu B'Shvat, the trees were covered with snow, and the winds were howling. So one of the Jewish writers in Europe wrote a whole description of Tu B'Shvat as if one of the trees is the Shliach Tzibur, and he's covered with snow that represents the white kittel and the white talus, and the wind is howling that represents the Tkiyah Shofar, and it represents the davening of the Shliach Tzibur. And the whole thing is a joke. What has it got to do with Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Well, we observe it. There's no real good reason why we don't say Tachnun today. Today is not a Yontif. Rosh Hashanah Ilanas is not a Yontif. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, Arba Rosh Hashanah, therefore. What we call Rosh Hashanah, and the Mishnah calls Yontif Shel Rosh Hashanah. That's called Yontif. The other three are not a Yontif. What is Rosh Hashanah Ilanas all about? So the Gemara explains that there's a din of Orla and Revai, that if you plant the tree, so if fruits grow, a lot of times fruits, nothing will grow in the first couple of years. If fruits do grow, a tree or a bush where berries grow, as a makhluk is Bisham and Bisil, and we pass like Bisilo, that a bush is also dina ketri. And on berries, you also say bari pihu eitz, you don't say bari pihu adama. It's a bari pihu adama, bari pihu eitz, that's an issue derabanan. But whether it has a din of orlo or not, that's a din deraisa. So the din is like Bisilil against Beishamai, that a bush is din of Ketri, and it does, it is subject to the dinim of orlo. So the din is that if peiros grow on the tree, the first 3 years, that they have a din of orlo. So how do you calculate the first 3 years? So Rosh Hashanah le'ilonus means if it's already a couple of years old, then it's called an ilon. When you first plant it, it's called an etia. When it's already 3 years old, then it's called an ilon. So if you planted the tree, let's say in Tammuz, and it comes, I plant the tree Mechodesh in Tammuz, when it comes Rosh Hashanah, that's the end of the first year. And then when it comes next Rosh Hashanah, that's the end of the second year. Then it comes the next Rosh Hashanah, that's the end of the third year, even though it's only 2 years and a couple of months. Tammuz of Elul. I planted the tree in Tammuz. There were only 3 months before Rosh Hashanah. So then there are 12 months between Rosh Hashanah and the next Rosh Hashanah, 12 months or 13 months, whatever, between the next Rosh Hashanah. So that's 2 years and 3 months. So you don't say when it comes already the second Rosh Hashanah, it's already the end of the third year. You don't say that. You have to wait till Tu B'Shvat, Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev Teves Shvat. That's 4.5 months. You have to wait another 4.5 months. And then that's the end of the Orla, and then begins the fourth year, has a din of Revai. So that's what it means, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanus. At the beginning of the fourth year, when the din of Revai apply, that's in Tu B'Shvat. What if I planted, let's say I planted a tree in Tishrei, and when it comes next Tishrei, that's the end of the first year, next Tishrei is the end of the second year. Next Tishrei, let's say I planted a tree in Aseres and Meitshuva. So then when it comes 3 years later, it's already 3 full years based on the calendar. Let's say I planted the tree the fifth day of Tishrei. So it comes 3 years later, the fifth day of Tishrei. It's already 3 full years. So you still have to wait another 4.5 months. You have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. Or do you say no? You only have to wait till Tu B'Shvat at the end of the third year. If you chiseled off in the beginning, if you planted the tree in Tammuz or in Sivan, you planted the tree in Sivan, so you have Sivan Tammuz of Elul, only 4 months in the first year. So then you chiseled off, you were cheating on the first year, then you have to wait 4.5 months into the next, at the end. You have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. But if I planted the tree in Aseres Meitshuva, and it's already the fifth day, I planted the fifth day of Tishrei. I wait 3 years later, it's the fifth day of Tishrei. So it is 3 years. So then the Pashta says that you don't have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. The 3 years are already up. So the Rana and the Rif And Rosh Hashanah quotes this machlokes. And some Rishonim say you still have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. That's the halacha. Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. And others say no. Tu B'Shvat is only Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos with respect to Orla. And the Revai, if in the case where you don't have 3 full years, but if you already have 3 full years, miyom liyom, then you don't have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. What else is relevant to B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos, aside from Orla? And that to Revai, it's also relevant which year did the Peres belong to. The first year, there's a 7-year cycle of Shemitah. So the first 2 years, you mafish Truma Gedola first, you have to be mafish in order. First Truma Gedola, then Maisa Rishon, then Maisa Sheni. The third year, instead of being mafish Maisa Sheni, you mafish Maisa Rani. Then the fourth and the fifth years are a repeat of the first and the second years, that you mafish Truma Gedola, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni. And then the sixth year is a repeat of the third year that Yemafish Maisa Oni. So let's say the Peres that grew in the second year, you cannot be Mafrish. What do you mean the Peres that grow in the second year, Yemafish Maisa Sheni? The Peres that grow in the third year, Yemafish Maisa Oni. The Peres are so careful that they don't begin to grow in between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. It's not like that. So the Gemara says there's a cutoff point. If you planted tvua, let's say, if I planted grain, so when did the Havoah Shlish take place? It depends. If the Havoah Shlish took place in the second year, then you mafrish Maisa Sheni. If the Havoah Shlish took place in the third year, then you mafrish Maisa Rani. What exactly does it mean, Havoah Shlish? It means that the kernels of grain are 1/3 the size that they're going to be when they're fully ripened, fully grown. The pre is 1/3 of this full size, or it means it's sitting in the ground 1/3 of the time that it has to sit. It's not going to be the same time because it sits in the growth picks up much faster towards the end. So if you need 1/3 of the full size, that's going to be much longer than 1/3 of the time that it's sitting in the ground. Sitting in the ground 1/3 is not going to be 1/3 the full size. So that's a discussion in the Malbusha Yantav, I think, in the recent Svarim. Malbusha Yantav is one of the few svarim from the Achronim, from the later Achronim that Rav Soloveitchik was familiar with, because the author of the Malbusha Yantav was a rabbi in the same village where Rav Soloveitchik's father was the rabbi in Chaslavich. So that's why he saw that sefer in the Beis Medrash that was available. So he used to quote, every so often, he used to quote from the Malbusha Yantav. So when it comes to a grain, the cutoff point is Rosh Hashanah, and the thing that determines is the Havoah Shlish. It's a question exactly what Havoah Shlish means. If the Havoah Shlish took place in the middle of the second year, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's the second year. So then Yemafish Maisa Sheni. And if the Havoah Shlish took place in the middle of the third year, then Yemafish Maisa Rani. Even from the first year to the second year, that you mafrish the same hafrashes, Truma Gedola, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni, but if I have bushels from the first year and bushels from the second year, cannot be mafrish mishana al chavato. That's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that says, Aser te'aser es kol tvas arecha hayotze hasode, shana shana. So the Gemara understands shana shana, that you're not mafrish mishana al chavato. What if b'dieved? What if you did? That's a discussion. And Rambam, but lachatchila v'shu, you're not supposed to be mafish mishana al chavata. So by tvu, it depends on Havoah Shlish. By peris or ilon, so the Gemara says it depends on chanote. What does chanote mean? So Rashi says when the fruit starts to blossom, chanote, when it starts to taste it, disagree. Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, does it disagrees with Rashi? When the fruits start to grow in the tree, they're not edible in the beginning. So it's like eitz bi'alma. So you're not chayven any hafrashes, trumas, and maises on eitz. Has to grow to a certain size to have the status of a pri. So Tosis disagrees with Rashi to say, we assume like Tosis. Tosis says, chanota is approximately the same as havoah shlish by tvua. Chanota means that the pri is already formed a little bit. It's not fully ripened, but it's like havoah shlish. So by Peres or Ilan, the din is that it depends on when the Chanota, did the Chanota occur in this year, in the second year, or in the third year, or in the first year? Yeah, what about the Yerokas? Yerokas depend on Lekita. when did the Lakita take place? That's the Gemara in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean? Lakita is a further machlekes. What the Lakita means literally Lakita. That's how the Ritva learns, when you detach it from the ground. Or Lakita means when it's fully ripened and it's Roy Lili Lakita. So let's say it was fully ripe and ripe before Rosh Hashanah, but you didn't bother to pluck it off. You were busy making preparations for Rosh Hashanah. And then you do the Lakita and Aseres HaMeitshuva. So according to the Ritva, it belongs to the second year, the next year, because you did the actual Lakita after Rosh Hashanah. Whereas according to Tosfos, Lakita doesn't mean actual Lakita. It means when it's Roy Lakita, means Gemar Gidl HaPri, and it's not going to grow anymore. So according to the Tosfos, it'll belong to the previous year. Yeah, what about the kidneys depend on Hashrosha, when you planted it in the ground? So the kidneys to go Basa Hashrosha. And Perisa Elon, that you go Basa Chanata, what does it mean? If Chanata occurred in the second year, Chanata occurred in the first year. What do you mean Chanata? Chanata occurred, when is the first year? When is the second year? So that depends. If Chanata occurred before Tu B'Shvat, then it belongs to the previous year. Even though Tu B'Shvat is 4.5 months into the year already. Tu B'Shvat is the middle of the fifth month already. Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Tei B'Shvat. Still, if the Chanata occurred before Tu B'Shvat, it belongs to last year. Chanata occurred after Tu B'Shvat, that it belongs to the new year. So these are really the dinim of Tu B'Shvat. Why is there a minig that you don't say Tachnon? So the Makar in Shulchan Aruch, they call it the Makar, is the Mordechai. My impression is that the Jews lived in Europe for so many years and they forgot all about Eretz Yisrael. They forgot about all, but they weren't observing the mitzvahs of Pleiz Bars. They didn't have an opportunity to wasn't shocked to go to Eretz Yisrael, to make a government, to have an army. All of this was out of the question. The thing was inconceivable. But they wanted to have a connection with Eretz Yisrael. So they developed a meaning that you treat Tu B'Shvat as if it's a yontif. But there's no reason why it should be a yontif. The Mordechai says a lashon because it's Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos, and ki ha'adam eitz asode. Ki ha'adam eitz asode. So human beings are treated like trees. But pasuk ki ha'adam eitz asode is bitmiya. The pasuk says when you go to wage war against your enemy and there are fruit-bearing trees, you're not allowed to chop down the trees. L'sashcha says it's eitz doach alecha garzen. Why ki ha'adam eitz asode? Are the trees human beings, that's part of the enemy? You're not allowed to kill civilians. When you go to war, you're not allowed to kill civilians. You're only allowed to kill members of the army. So the members of the army are the men, because by the goyim, they never drafted women into the army. It's scandalous that in Eretz Yisrael now they draft the women. There's no need to draft the women, and everybody knows that the army is weaker. If you have men and women mixing together, mingling, it's going to be weaker. The American government made studies about this, and they proved it beyond any shadow of a doubt. So it's really scandalous that in Eretz Yisrael they still have such preachers that they have army bases with men and women together. There's no reason to draft women in the army from Shonim Kadmanias. They never drafted women in the army. That's why it says, Raka tafa noshim. You don't kill. You only kill the men because the men are the soldiers and the tafa and the noshim are civilians. You're not allowed to kill civilians. Every war, you always kill civilians. It's very unfortunate. Every war, you always kill many, many civilians, but you have no choice. Yeah, that's the only way you wage war. Unfortunately, when you drop a bomb, so you're always going to kill civilians, but you're not allowed to, on purpose, intentionally, you're not allowed to kill civilians. They get killed. It's unfortunate.
So should we say Tachnon?
No, the meaning is that we don't say Tachnon. The question is like this, the Chasam Sofer quotes, has two tshuvas, one after the other, and tshuvas Chasam Sofer about Lag BaOmer. So every tshuva has a date. So the first tshuva he says, he heard that in Meron and Eretz Yisrael, they give the chalaka, they give the haircut to the young children who are just 3 years old. They always save the haircut for Lag BaOmer. And they dance and they sing and have parades, all kinds of things. So he says, Iayasha Cheli, if they would listen to me, Avatlini, he would abolish the Lag BaOmer celebrations in Meron because it's a violation of Baal Tosef. And he quotes the Pri Chodosh, who says, based on the simple reading of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that's the Pashup Shani Gemara, that you're not allowed to institute any additional Yamim Tovim over and above the Yamim Tovim in the Chumash, unless they have unless it lives up to the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainis. What is Megillas Tainis? Megillas Tainis is a book that was written down. Rashi said that's why it's called Megillah, because the Mishnayos were still being transmitted orally. And the Megillas Tainis has halachas of Torah Shebal Peh. So strictly speaking, you're not really supposed to have such a book. So Megillas Tainis list goes in order of the months of the year. Nisan Iyar, Sivan Tim, Tammuz, and so on, goes in order of the months, and it lists off all of the Yom Tovim that were instituted mid the Rabbanim Bizman by Sheni. And they all had something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Gemara says. Either the improvement of the Hakrovas HaKrabonos, or the improvement of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, or the improvement of some of the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash, institution of the Kuna Gedoyla, or the institution of the Sanhedrin, and so on. So, and the simple reading of the Gemara is that it'll be an Iser of Baal Tosef if you'll introduce a Yontif that has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash. So the Chasam Sofer is upset. He quotes this Pri Chodesh in the earlier tshuva. He's upset why in Eretz Yisrael they make a whole Yontif out of, in Meiron, they make a whole Yontif out of Lag BaOmer. And he says, E'ayasha cheli avatlin. And what about the way they observed Lag BaOmer in Europe? They left that Tachnon, they made it into a Yontif. So that he doesn't raise an issue. Why not? That was always like that. That's in Shulchan Aruch. That says in Shulchan Aruch that we leave that Tachna. The answer is that there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Gaonim. What is the status of reciting Tachna? In the days of the Gemara, they said Tachna. The Gemara in the end of Perek HaZohav tells when they put Rab Lezer ben Hurkanis in Cherem. So he used to say Tachna every day. And one day his wife didn't let him, his wife, when they put him in Cherem, he couldn't go to the Beis Medrash anymore. So he used to daven at home all the time. So his wife was always there to be mafsik him, to talk to him, then me to Nishman Esri and Tachnun, because your prayers are stronger if you say Tachnun immediately following Shman Esri without any hafsokim. So his wife didn't want his prayers to be so strong, because his wife was the sister of the chief rabbi who had to put him in Cherem. So she was afraid that her husband, Rabbi Lez Ben Hurkins, is going to pray that the chief rabbi should be punished for putting him in Cherem. So she was afraid her brother is going to die, chief rabbi. So every day, she would always be there to talk to him in between Shemana Esrei and Tachnun, so his prayer should not be fully accepted. And one day she thought that it was Rosh Chodesh, and it was really tomorrow was Rosh Chodesh, and today was not Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachnun. So she thought that today's Rosh Chodesh, he's not going to say Tachnun anyway. And it turned out that she was wrong and he was right. Today was not Rosh Chodesh, so he did say Tachnun. And that day, his brother-in-law died. His prayers were answered, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the brother-in-law, the chief rabbi, for putting him in the Cherem. So you see, in the days of the Gemara, they said Tachnun, and they knew that Tachnun enhances the Korech HaTfilah, and you're not supposed to be mafsik. The Gemara even has a Hava Min and Megillah. They have to say Tachnun in the same location where you said Shemona Esrei. You shouldn't walk to another part of the shul. The Gemara says, no, that's okay. Because in the days of the Gemara, when they said Tachna, they would do Nefilas Apayim. They would do Pishat Yadayim V'Raglayim. Some of the Sfaradish Rabbanim still do like that. In Eretz Yisrael, you'll see like that. Teimanim, I think Teimanim Rabbanim. Balabatim also, when it comes to Tachna, they'll lay down on the floor and say the Pishat Yadayim V'Raglayim. So if a person was davening Shemona Esrei in one part of the shul where there's a stone floor, so there's a din, if there's a stone floor, you're not allowed to kneel, even though you're kneeling lashamayim, you're not kneeling to avodah zarah, kneeling lashamayim. To kneel on a stone floor is only in the Beis HaMikdash. The floor of the Beis HaMikdash was a stone floor, so you're not allowed to do that chutz leBeis HaMikdash. So the Gemara tells that some of the Amoraim were daven in shul, and the location where they were had stones on the floor. So they would walk to another part of the shul in order to say Tachnun. And Gemara said, that's a chiddush, that one might have argued the point and thought that you have to say Tachnun. You shouldn't be mafzik in between Shemana Esrei and Tachnun. So maybe the Tachnun has to be the same location, the same spot in the shul. And Gemara says, no, you can walk to another part of the shul and say Tachnun also. So Tachnun existed in the days of the Gemara, that's beferish. And Rosh Chodesh, they don't say Tachnun. The question is, is it Medina or is that a minik? So that's a machlekes. The Rambam writes that Tachnun is one of the dinim of tefillah. You're mechuyev to say tachna. Only if it's a yontif, like Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos yontif, then you don't say tachna. And the tour in Hilchas Tachnun, the tour Arachaim quotes the Tshuvas HaGaonim, that tachnun was always a reshus. It's optional. You're not really mechuyev to say tachna. So today it's a minig that we always say tachna. So apparently this didn't bother the Chasam Sofer how much. The fact that they celebrated Lag BaOmer all over the world by the Ashkenazim, by deleting Tachnun, Nish Gefelach, a lot of times we leave out Tachnun and there's no valid cause, because we assume Tachnun is a Rishus. But he heard that in Meirom, when they celebrate Lag BaOmer, they give the young children the haircuts and they have parades and dancing and singing and everything. So that he felt was a violation of Bal Tosef. Because he didn't think that Lag BaOmer had anything to do with the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Then the second tshuva that's printed in Tshuvas Chasam Sofer right after the first one, he backs out from the whole thing, and he thinks that the Pichadush is not correct, that there's no Issa Bal Tosef to introduce more Yamatayim. But the Pashtus is like the first tshuva. The simple reading of the Gemara is that there is an Issa, that you're not allowed to. In many communities, they used to have, let's say, Frankfurt Purim. In Frankfurt, there used to be in Oda Sheni, there was some kind of a holiday, that there was some kind of Yeshua that happened a few centuries ago. Here in Broyers, they leave out when you have a Shana Moberes on Oda Sheni, there's one day that's called Frankfurt Purim. So nobody alive today remembers what happened. It happened a few hundred years ago, but there was a Yeshua. So they would celebrate, they would make a party, they would celebrate. So that's not a violation of Bal Tosef, because it doesn't really look like a yontif. It's only the people in that city, in many different cities. They would, or let's say the Tosef yontif would celebrate. I think there was a fire in his home and he almost got killed. So he would celebrate every year. So that was a family celebration. Or let's say Rabbi Willig, one of his children when he was born was very, very sick, Raphael. And then he was, after a couple of weeks, he got better. So every year they would make a Suda Soidoya in commemoration of that. So that's not a violation of Bal Tosef. It's a family celebration. It's a small celebration. But if you have a celebration that the Jews all over the world are celebrating, a Yom Tov, like Yom Atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, there are some loonies who are not celebrating, the Turi Kartanikis, they're not celebrating, they're saying Kinnis. But everybody in the world, everybody else in the world is celebrating. So then it's a Shaila or Bal Tosef. Unless you think that it may have something, unless you think that the fact that there was Hakamas HaMedina, or the fact that there was Kibush Yerushalayim and the Makam HaMikdash is in Jewish control, unless you think that that will probably, there's a good chance that may lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. If you think it may lead up, then it's grounds to celebrate the Yontif, then it corresponds to the rules and regulations of Megillah's time. So that's why Tu B'Shvat, the only thing we do is we delete the Tachna. That's okay. But other people have a whole Seder. They have a whole Seder for Tu B'Shvat. So that could be that may be an issue. Sfardim have like that something, Al-Pikabol, and the Hasidim, whatever is Al-Pikabol. So the Hasidim picked it up. So they observe like that also. But everybody else doesn't have that. We shouldn't adopt other people's Minhagim, because they're not also Pashut. Leaving out Tachnun is Nish Gefelach, that's not a violation of Bal Tosef, but having a whole Seder, that could be an issue of Bal Tosef. In this week's Sedra, we have that some mitzvahs were given. Last week, we read about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Parshas Bo, and next week, we're going to read about Matan Torah. Maimon HaSinai was 7 weeks after they counted Sfira. That's the Medrash that ran on the last page in the Rif in Psochim. The Rif in the last page himself quotes the Dinim of Sfiras Ha'ima. So the Ran on the Rif quotes a Medrash that where did the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'ima come from? The Jewish people knew that it's going to be 7 weeks till Maimon HaSinai. So they were counting with anticipation, like sometimes a couple is engaged to get married and they're so excited. So they're counting how many days, they're counting down. How many days do they have till they're going to get married? So that's what Bnei Yisrael were counting. How many days have gone by since Yetzias Mitzrayim, because at the end of 7 weeks, it's going to be Maimon HaSinai. So the Rebbe Shalom thought that it was so beautiful. That's how the Medrash says that the Ran quotes on the last page in Pesachim. Rebbe Shalom thought that it's such a beautiful thing that the Jewish people express such excitement in anticipation of Maimon HaSinai. So he gave us a mitzvah every year we should count Sfiras Ha'ima. Okay, that's how the Medrash says. So in between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Maamar HaSinai, this week is in between Parshas B'Shalach. So in Parshas B'Shalach, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave some of the mitzvahs before Maamar HaSinai. So the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim gives you the whole history of the development of the mitzvahs. He says that Rabbeinu Shalom created the world, Nusheshes made Bereshis. Adam Arishon was created on Friday, the sixth day of Sheshes made Bereshis. And Adam Arishon was given six mitzvahs. He wasn't given Eved Menachai because he had to be a vegetarian. And so it's irrelevant. Not only you're not allowed to eat Eved Menachai, you can't eat any meat at all. And then after the Mabul, Noach was given the permission to eat Kiyera Kesim, the Satat Lechem is Kol. He's permitted to eat meat, just like fruits and vegetables, Amutar. So then he had to be given a din that Achbas B'davsha Damalos Achelo, that you're not permitted to eat Eved Menachai and Basa Menachai. So then it became the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And the whole world was going like this for 10 generations. From Adam Arish until Noach was 10 generations. So there used to be six mitzvahs, it became seven. The Noach till Avram Avinu was another 10 generations, says in Chumash, Esed Doiris, and Noach bar Avram, and then Avram Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, mitzvah bris milah. Yitzhak Avinu was given the opportunity to fulfill Hafrashas Maisris, and Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe. So the world was going like this until Jews and Mitzrayim. The Rambam has some kind of a medrash. The regular standard Mefarshim don't know where the Medrash is. Maybe not by now they found it already. The Rambam says that Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, was given a few mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. We don't have it in the Gemara, in the famous Midrashim, we don't have it. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was given the dinim, and we read the dinim of Korban Pesach. It was given Hayra Shua. They knock on the next door neighbor's doors and ask for matonis, but it was also given some of the dinim ladoris of Korban Pesach. And then in this week's Sedra, we read that several additional mitzvahs were given before Maamar HaSinai. So one of the additional mitzvahs that was given was the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Who says that was given before Matan Torah? It says in Aseres Adibros, Kabiras Avicha V'Semecha Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alakecha. That's what it says in Vayis Chanan. So when was it Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alakecha? So Poshe Pshat, you can say, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the text in Vayis Chanan is a text of the Luch HaShnius. Maybe Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha means, as I instructed you in the first Luchas, at Maamar HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed Aseres Adibros, Kibud Av V'Em. Then Moshe Rabbeinu came down 40 days later, after Maamar HaSinai, came down with the Luchas, and he saw the Jewish people dancing around the eagle. So he smashed the Luchas, and then later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "P'sol luchos, shnei luchos havarim karishanim, chasapti ha-luchos es ha-dvarim asher hayu, ala luchos harishanim asher shibartos." HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraves on the second luchos, "Kabed ha-savicha v'semecha, kashet zivcha Hashem alakech." When is that beluchos rishonais? So the Gemara thinks that pshat is not correct. Kashet zivcha doesn't mean luchos rishonais. It says, "Chasapti ha-luchos es ha-dvarim asher hayu." The text of the second luchas was the same as the text of the first luchas. In the Chumash, there are discrepancies between the text as it appears in Yisro and the text of the Aseres Adibros as it appears in Vayis Chanan. But the Ramban al HaTorah, the Ibn Ezra, asks, how come the Chachamei HaGemara were only concerned about the discrepancy regarding Zocha V'Shama? What about the other discrepancies between the text of Luchas Rishonis and Luchas Shnius? He doesn't have an answer. So the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra, and he says the answer is the following. When the Chumash quotes what someone said, Chumash quotes Lavan said something, and Paro said, and Yosef said, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Chumash not Mechuyev, the Chumash quotes the text of the Aseres Adibros on the Luchas, the Chumash is not necessarily quoting verbatim. It's not necessarily a direct quotation word for word. It could be that the text of the Luchas was neither the text as it appears in Yisro nor as it appears in Vayis Chanan. Could be that it was the third text. The Chumash is only giving you the gist of what it said. So why were the Chazal worried about Zocha V'Shama? Just giving you the gist. So he says, no, the Ramban explains, Zocha V'Shama, there's a major discrepancy. Zocha is a mitzvah saseh and Shama is a loy saseh. Whenever they say Shama pen or al, that's the equivalent of loy. That's a loy saseh. The Gemara says, you only get Malkus if you violate an Aver that's similar to lo, sach samshar bedisha. It has to either be written in the Chumash by saying lo, or like lo soch lekon levela, something like that, either loy or hisham pen vial is equivalent of loy. So shamar is a loy sese, not to do malach on Shabbos. Zohar is a mitzvah sase. So that's why the Chazal said, what is the gist of the dibur of Shabbos? Is it an essay or is it a loy sese? The Gemara says, Zohar v'shamar v'dibrecha nemru. They were both proclaimed simultaneously. What was written on the luchas, we don't know. But it wasn't that the luchas Rishonim said one way and the luchas Shniyah said another way. The text on the luchas was the same. That's what it said. V'chasavte l'halochos ha-sadvayim she-hayu al-halochos ha-rishonim asher shibarta. So if in V'eschanan it says, kabed ha-sevicha v'semecha kasher tzivcha Hashem alakecha, it can't mean, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed you at Maimon HaSinai. No. Kasher tzivcha must, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai. Kasher tzivcha must have been, I instructed you before you came to Har Sinai. So that's what the Gemara said. That was in Mora. In Mora, on the way to Har Sinai, they were given the din of Kibbut Aviyeh. Kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Yeah. Kibbut Aviyeh is a very challenging mitzvah. Most people who are blessed with parents don't observe the mitzvah properly. Abaye was an orphan. His father died before he was born. The mother died at childbirth, so he had no father, no mother. He was raised by his uncle, Rabba Bar Nachmeni. And his name was Nachmeni. We assume that Abaye is a nickname. What does the nickname mean? So there are different explanations printed on the side of the Gemara. So some say Abaye is a Rosh HaTevas Asher B'cho Yerucham Yosam. That's an expression in Novi. Asher B'cho Yerucham is one of the Haftarahs because he was an orphan. Others say that it was the nickname. His real name was Nachmeni. And Rabba, his uncle, raised him, and Rabba's father was Nachmeni, Rabba Bar Nachmeni. So Rabba used to call him Tatanyu. Instead of calling him Nachmeni, because his own father's name was Nachmeni, so he used to call him Tatanyu. So that's Abba Ye. Abba Ye is Tatanyu. He's calling him because he had the same, Abai had the same name as Rabba's father, Rabba Bar Nachmeni. But Abai was an orphan, had no father, had no mother. So the Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Kedushin has the whole sugya of Kibbut Aviyeh. So Abai makes a statement how fortunate he is that he never had the obligation to fulfill Kibbut Aviyeh, because both parents passed away. The father died before he was born. The mother died at childbirth. He says the people have parents, are blessed with parents, but it's such a serious mitzvah and hardly anybody fulfills it properly. A lot of people feel guilty during the parents' lifetime. They didn't really fulfill Kibbut Aviyeh properly. So after the parents die, then they spend a fortune of money on a coffin, and they spend a fortune of money on tachrichim. They spend a lot of money. Okay, if they want to do that, they feel guilty. Okay, but the better route would have been to try to fulfill the mitzvah properly. What exactly is Kibbut Aviyeh? So the Gemara points out that there are two, it's all quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara points out that there are two different mitzvahs. One is Kibbut Aviyeh, one is Mora Aviyeh. So kibud, we would have translated kibud means to give honor. So the Gemara says, not so. Kibud means to give service. Machilo, mashkehu, manilo, machitzo, socho. If the father needs a little help, he needs someone to go shopping for him, or he needs someone to help him get dressed, or he needs someone to cook for him or something, or the mother wants someone to take down the garbage, to service the parents, to give service to the parents. When a person gets married, he has to get a job. So let's say he's a doctor. He gets a job in Los Angeles. So he has to stay in New York. His parents live in New York. He can't take a job in Los Angeles because he has to service the parents. So the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyeh was never intended to restrict the children from advancing. Where he is now, he's a doctor, he'll never get ahead. Now they want to make him the head of a department in Los Angeles, but he has to move to Los Angeles. So once he moves to Los Angeles, it's unreasonable. The mother's going to call him and call him on the phone, can you please take down the garbage? That's unreasonable. He should fly in from California to take down the garbage. So that's, if the parents make it unreasonable, the children have a right to move to Los Angeles. That's a shot that the children have the right to move to Eretz Yisrael. The parents want them to live nearby to service them. How to service them? They're busy? No, they should visit once in a while. They should bring their grandchildren once in a while. And if they're going to move to Eretz Yisrael, they'll hardly ever see each other. They'll send photographs in the mail, okay. But they'll visit once a year, whatever. But it's not going to be the same as if they live close by. They won't be able to be mahana their parents. Let's say when the children are still single. So let's say the parents are busy all week long. Everybody runs to do a job. They only see their children on Shabbos and Yom Tov when the whole family, when they have off from work. So they sit together. So the parents enjoy seeing their children. So the children should be mahana their parents. That's, they should give service to the parents. That's kibud avayim. Mora avayim means to give respect. Lo yeshabim koma, not to sit in the parents' seat. Stand up when the parents walk into the room. Most assume today that the parents are moichel on their kovid. So you don't have to stand up. But if it's obvious that they're not moichel on the kovid, then they didn't really require supposed to stand up. And you're not supposed to sit in their seat. You're not supposed to call the parents by their first name. In America, it's a shtick. The parents want to act as if they're young. So they want their children, a lot of parents want their children to call them by their first name. The children should refer to the father as Jack, or they should refer to the mother as Mary, or whatever. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not permissible, even if the parents are moichel on the kovid. The din is that the parents have a right to be moichel on the kovid, but they have no right to be moichel on bizoyin. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not proper. Even though the parents want it, they want to feel younger. They want to feel as if they're 25 years younger, the same age as their children. That's not proper. The children should not refer to their parents by their first name. Yeah, so these are the two mitzvahs, mitzvah of kibud avi and mitzvah of mor avi. Kibud is to give service to the parents, to be mahana their parents. It's unreasonable to expect that the children should be home every single Shabbos and Yom Tov. They can never go visit their friends. Today it's assume that it's reasonable that the children want to visit somewhere, but it has to be a balance. They have to be mahana. The parents never see the children the whole week long. The children are running to school or whatever, and the parents are running to work, so they never see each other. So they only see each other on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it's not right that they should go. If the parents really want the children to be home, it's not, they have no right to be unreasonable, to insist that the children have to be home every single Shabbos, every single Yom Tov. A little bit, they have a right to go to their friends. Should be all within reason. So that's the din of kibud avayim. And then kibud avayim is machila mashkeu, to be mahana their parents. And mor avayim is to show respect for the parents. There is a famous discussion that appears, the Minchas Chinuch has this discussion, on Parshas Yisron, Kabiros Avich Vesimecho. Maram Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer in Hungary. So he has a tshuvah halacha about this. What's the nature of the mitzvah of kibud avayim? That you have to give service to the parents. Is that in mor avayim, to show respect? Is this a mitzvah bin adam la'makom or bin adam la'chaver? Some of the mefarshim achum, some of the rishonim say that the aseres hadibros, the first five are bin adam la'makom and the next five are bin adam la'chaver. La'sirtzach, la'sinaf, la'signa, la'sana berecha, etshoker. And the first five are bin adam la'makom. So kibud avayim is mitzvah number five. So many assume that that's bin adam la'makom. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch and the Maram Shik are misupik about. Is it bin adam la'makom that really we have to show kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. So how can you show kavod? How can you give him respect? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shlosh shutvim yesh ba'adam. The Gemara has this expression in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, in the middle of the sugi of kibud avayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am invisible, but your parents are there with you. So if you'll show kavod to your parents, I will consider it as if you're mechabed me. Because we're all three of us hashutvim. Avi v'ima and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shlosh shutvim yesh ba'adam. And whoever will be disrespectful to the parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if they were disrespectful to him. So that's one way to explain the nature of the mitzvah kibud avayim. It's a mitzvah bin adam la'makom. It's a way to indirectly show kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the other way to say is, no, it's bin adam la'chaverai. Maybe since the parents brought us into this world, and they usually they take care of us, and they send us to high school, college, and they married us off. So even if the parents were not so kind, even if the parents were miserable and someone else took care of us, the fact that the parents brought us into the world, so that should be enough to be mechayev us out of HaKoros HaToiv. We should have a debt of gratitude towards the parents. And we're mechuyev bin adam lachavero to demonstrate that hakara satayv. What's the difference? Halacha lemaisa, it's a mederek tahin, it's a mederek taher. If you have a chakira that doesn't have an afkamina, it's not a valuable chakira. So what's the difference? They don't say a chakira, they say sveka dedina. So the minchas chino has the following afkamina. The din is that whenever I did an avera bin adam lachavero, I can do tshuva 1,000 times over. I have to ask apology from chaver. Let's say I stole from someone else, or I was mazik someone else, or I schovel b'chaver. I violated an aver ben adam chaver, and I do tshuva. I never do that. I'm never going to repeat that aver. But I didn't ask apology of the person. So the Mishnah says in Perak HaChovel, even though he paid the money, the damages that he caused, he has to ask mechila. So that's what the Menchas Chinuch has a suffix. What if a person violated Kibbut Aviyim? Let's say he gets married, he moves away, never calls the parents, zero. No connection at all with the parents. Just like he doesn't call anybody else who lives in the neighborhood. He moved. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. He cuts off his relationship with everybody else in the neighborhood. So he doesn't have any connection with the parents either. He doesn't ba'avol the parents. He didn't do anything improper to the parents, but he doesn't show any keshev at all. Never calls, never wishes good Shabbos, Gantav, nothing, nothing. So then when he finally decides to do tshuva and act like a mensch, so does he have to ask apology of the parents? Was the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyim, was it really ben adam l'chavero? So Tzor Sheifai says, chavero should be assumed, no, it's ben adam l'makom. So from now on, he's going to observe Kibbut Aviyim. Maybe he only has to ask apology from HaKadosh Baruch. He doesn't have to ask apology from the parents. So that's the suffix that the Menchas Chinuch has. The Maram Shik has a tshuva, different nafkamina, same shayla, different nafkamina, but it's related. He said there was an incident that the father and his son had some kind of a disagreement, and the son irritated the father to the extent that the father said, "I'm boichel the kibbut aviyim. I don't want you to do me any favors. Me'atavad oylam. From now on, don't do me any favor. Don't show any kibbut aviyim. Period." So this the father said when he's 50 years old and the son is 25 years old. And then when the father reaches the age of 80, then he can use a little help. So he calls up the son and he says, "Could you please help me out?" So the son said, "No, you are moichel. You are moichel. I'm not mechuyev." Let's say Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. And then Shimon says he's moichel. So moichel, okay. And then a year goes by and then they're no longer friendly. So then Shimon says, "I want you to pay me the $1,000. So Reuven says, "No, you were Meichel. Once you were Meichel, I'm not Mechuyev to pay." So what's the story over here? So the Gemara says that by Kibbut Aviyim, the father can be Meichel on his covet. But the question is, does that really mean it's the father is a Bailim to be Meichel on the covet? If the Chiyav covet is Ben Adam Lachaver, then the father could be Meichel on the Chiyav covet, and then the Chiyav will be Paka. There's no Chiyav covet. It could be that the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyim is really ben adam l'makom and not ben adam l'chaver. So it could be the father is not a balabos to be moichel. Either din is he can be moichel. No, that's because that's a definition of kavod. There's an expression in Hebrew, "Tzonu shel adam zehu kavodo." The way to show kavod is to do the wish that the person has. So the father says, "Don't do me any favors. I'm angry at you. I don't want you to give me any services. Me'at tavar oylam." So for the first, from the age of 50 to the age of 80, for 30 years, so the son will not show any kibbut aviyim. Then when the father reaches 80, so he says he needs a little help. So he calls the son, "Yes, could you please help me?" So the question is, does the son have the right to say, "No, you are moichel?" Or do you say, "No, for the last 30 years between the age of 50, age of 80, father was moichel, and ritzon shel adam zeh kvodo." It's not called kavod to force it upon the person. I remember I used to visit my father the last years of his life. My father died at the age of 94. I used to visit him every Monday night. I gave a shiur in Flatbush, and my father lived in Borough Park. I used to stop off after the shiur on the way home to Washington Heights. So sometimes I would stay for a few minutes. I'd ask my father, "Would you like me to make a cup of tea?" So he said, "I'm not an invalid. I can make my own tea. I don't need, okay." So I can't force the kibbut aviyim. If he doesn't want, he doesn't want. People, all the people want to maintain their own independence and they don't want the children to help them out. But if they need some help, That's the Shiloh. So for the 30 years between the age of 50 and 80, the father was angry at the son. And he said, don't do me any favors. Don't give me any service. Don't give me any kibbut. I don't want any kibbut. Okay, so the definition of kibbut is, it's on a shalad, kvoda. But now from the age of 80 on, if you hold that kibbut aviyim is really being adam lamokam, so the father is not the balabos, he's not in a position, he has no right to be meichel. So only for 30 years he said, I don't want it. But now from the age of 80 on, he does want it. So the son should be mechuyev to do service for the father. So I think the Maamshik wants to bring a raya from the fact that the Gemara says, mechabda mechayim, mechabda lachamoso. The din of kibbut aviyim applies not only when the father is alive, even after the father dies, also din of kibbut aviyim. So if it's a shibud ben adam machaveri, if it's a ben adam machaveri, there's no shibud into a dead person. So from the fact that there's a din of kibbut aviyim to the parents even after they die, mechabda lachamoso, that should be a conclusive proof that the nature of the mitzvah is ben adam lamakam. It doesn't prove that it's only ben adam lamakam. There's a third side, could be both ben adam lamakam and ben adam machaveri, could be that it's both. But that's what the Maram Shik says. Don't you see from the fact mechabda lachamoso, it's in the Chuvah's Mamshik, Chelik Yeridea, and it goes in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, where it has in Shulchan Aruch Yeridea, the dinam of Kibbut Aviyim. So he says, you see from the fact mechabda lachamoso that there is at least also an element of Ben Adam Lamach. It could be that it's both. So if there's an element of Ben Adam Lamach, then the father was never a balabos in the first place. He's only a balabos to be mochel if it's ben adam lachavera. But if there's only ben adam lamakam, or it's also ben adam lamakam, then he's not a balabos to be mochel on that. That's a question that Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis in the end of the first Perek Kiddushin raises the possibility. Maybe that din mechabda lachamos is only a chumra midirabbanan. Maybe menator it's really ben adam lachavera only, and lachamosa there's no shibudim to a mace. There's never any chiyuvim to a mace. And mechabda lachamos, maybe it's only midirabban, maybe it's not menatur. That's a possibility. But that's a question. What's the nature of the mitzvah of kibbut aviyim? Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a few svarim. So one of the svarim is called I forgot the name of the sefer. He has Shev de Nechemta. Shev de Nechemta, the seven haftaris that we say in between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. The 7 weeks in between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, the seven haftaris of Nechama, Nachamu, Nachmu, Ami, and the other six that are revolve about the themes of Nechama. So Rabbi Yosef Engel's mother passed away, and he wrote seven essays that should be Menachem him. The essays have nothing to do with Nechama, just the essays of Agoda. So one of the essays, he raises this issue, what's the nature of kibbut aviyim, ben adam lamakam, ben adam lachavera. So he points out that in Parshas Bishalach and today's Sedra, I have Professor Horowitz, who teaches in a college. Haven't seen him in 9 months, 10 months. But he always used to give me svarim. He always used to, whenever he got an extra copy of a sefer, would always give me a sefer. So he gave me a sefer that was written by a dear friend of his who passed away in Eretz Yisrael. He was this chavrusa for many years, a sefer on Chumash. So I saw in that sefer on Chumash, is this Talmud Chochma, who was a Rosh Yeshiva somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. He has the same shot that Rabbi Yosef Engel has, and then Ishev de Nechemta. In today's Sedra, it says when the Jews were in Mara, Sham Sam Lachoka Mishpat, Sham Nisahu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people Choka Mishpat. What does that mean? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Dinim were given to Bnei Yisrael in Mara. Before Maimon HaSinai, Dinim were given. So the Gemara, what do you mean Dinim were given? Dinim is one of the seven mitzvahs, Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach already had Dinim. So what was given to the Jewish people? So the Gemara says, Dini Knossos. The Bnei Noach have only mamim. They don't have any knas. We have three types. We learned the Taisvus on Daf Chavtes. There's mamim, there's knas, and there's kapara with the six or seven afkaminas ladina between kapara on the one hand And Mamana Knas, on the other hand, that was very important, that Taisus appeared in Bava Kamma, in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Taisus in Bava Kamma, Mem Gimel, and the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Kuv Dalet, and the Taisus in Ksubis, on Daf Lamed Amid Beis. That's an important, and we had it in Psochem on Daf Chavtes. So the addition of Dinim of Knas and Kapara, that was only given in Har Sinai. So the dinim with the given in Mara, that was before Har Sinai. But the Bnei Noach have dinim is only Mamet. They don't have Knas, they don't have Kapara. Oh, the Gemara says that by Bnei Noach, all you need is a Bezna of Echad, Eid Echad, Vedayan Echad. And by dinim, by the Jewish people, you need a Bezna of 3. And sometimes you need dinim, you need a Bezna of 23 when you're done dinim the Fashas. So that was given a Mara. That was over and above what the dinim for the Bnei Noach. So the pasuk says, Sham Sam Lo Chokom Mishpat. So the Chazal said, B'morin it's Tavo Ala Dinim, because it says Mishpat was given. Chok, we usually think of Paraduma, Zos Chukas HaTaira Paraduma. So there's a Mechilta that Rashi quotes on Chumash, that Paraduma, the mitzvah Paraduma, was given a Mara. The author of the Torah Tamim, I think, suggests that maybe it's a misprint in Rashi. It's a misprint in Rashi. It has to be a misprint in the Mechilta also. The Mechilta says that Paraduma was given in Mara. That's Chok. That I think the Torah Tamim suggests that it must be, it said, Chof Aleph, meant Kibbut Aviyim. The Gemara says Kibbut Aviyim was given in Mara because it says in Parshas Veschanan, Previously means a Mara before. It doesn't mean Luchas Rishonos. Luchas Rishonos, Luchas Shniyah said the same thing. So Kashet Tzivcha means previously before Maimon HaSinai in Mara. So that's what the Torah Tamim suggested. Maybe there was in Rashi it said Kibbut Aviyim was given. And then they made a Rashi Tevis out of it. And then they thought that the Chof Aleph was Pei Aleph, the someone wrote the Paraduma. Yeah, but if it's a mistake, if it's a Tosef and Rashi, then it's a Tosef and the Mechilta also, because the Mechilta says the Paraduma was given. So it could be that the Paraduma was given and the Dinim was given. So where does it say in the Chumash that Kibbut Aviyim was given? The Gemara points on that, but where does it say in the Chumash? So that's where Rabbi Yosef Engel and this friend of Professor Horowitz, they write, that what's the nature of the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyim? Is it ben adam la'makom or is it ben adam la'chavero? Is it ben adam la'chavero out of a debt of gratitude that we have to the parents? So does that make sense? So Rabbi Yosef Engel has that the Gemara says that for 2.5 years there was a debate between Bishama and Bishilo whether it's noach l'adam shenivra or noach l'adam sheloi nivra. Would it have been better for man that he should not have been born into the world? Or is it better that man was brought into the world? See, after 2.5 years, they came to the maskana that Noach Lala Adam Shaloi Nivra. It would have been better for man that he should not have been brought into the world. Why? So the Mashal says, because it's very easy to sin. There are 365 Averis, and it's very, the Yetzirah is around all the time, and it's very easy to sin. So it would have been better for man, Noach Lala Adam Shaloi Nivra, Misha Nivra. So we really shouldn't owe a debt of gratitude to the parents. We should sue the parents. That's the latest thing. Children are always suing the parents because of things that the parents did raise their children when they were young. So we should really have the right to sue the parents. They did us an avla by bringing us into the world. If we assume the maskani after 2.5 years of debate between Misham and Mesilo was Noach L'Adam Shalei Nivra. I think that's the Gemara in Erevin, I think, no? And after you give him a base, however, there's a little tesis there on that daf in Erevin. You give him a base, but they says this whole debate that they had, that's by an average person. But if the person is unusual tzaddik, then ashrei lo v'ashrei ledoro. It's his praises that he's an oved Hashem, and it's the praises of the generation that they have such a wonderful tzaddik. So then, if he's an unusual tzaddik, then he does owe a debt of gratitude to the parents. So the question was brought up, what's the nature of the mitzvah of Kibbut Aviyim? Is it ben adam l'chaver, do we owe a debt of gratitude to the parents, or is it ben adam l'makom? It's just shlosh shut from yesh ba'adam, and by showing kavod to parents, we're showing kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the invisible shutef. They'll consider it as if we showed kavod to him. So it really should, that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel says, it really should depend who the person is. If the person is unusual tzaddik, then ashrei lo v'ashrei ledoro, then he owes a debt of gratitude to the parents. Then it's ben adam la'makam also. Then it's ben adam la'chavera also. But if he's just nobody special, he's an adam benoni, and noach la'adam shaleinir mishaniver, then we don't owe a debt of gratitude to the parents at all. Then you have to assume that it's only ben adam la'makam. So that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests. And this friend of Professor Horowitz has in his Sefer HaChumash also, Shom Sam Lo Chok HaMishpat, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah that sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat. Sometimes it's Ben Adam LaMokim, and sometimes it's Ben Adam LaChaver. If he's nobody special, then it's only Ben Adam LaMokim, chok. But if he's an unusual tzaddik, Ashrei Lo Ashrei Ledora, then he owes a debt of gratitude to the parents, then it's also Ben Adam LaChaver in addition to being Ben Adam LaMokim. An interesting interpretation. When you start Siman Resh Mem and Yeridei Hilchas Kibur Aviyim, so they quote the Amachlekes, the Rambam in the Tur. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah Kibur Aviyim applies even if the parents are Rishoyim. And the Tur disagrees. It's against the Gemara, the first daf in Perek Ezer Neshech. The Gemara says that if the Aviv Rosho and he didn't do tshuva, then the Gemara says there's no mitzvah of Kibur Aviyim, Aviv Rosho. So what does the Rambam do with that Gemara? So the Marsham, I think, quotes from his brother. Marsham wrote, has a sefer Das Torah on Yerideya. Oh, Mar Mekayim is fantastic. Bekiyas, fantastic. So at the end of the sefer, he has miscellaneous Aoris. I think maybe he quotes this from his brother, that based on the passage in Yerushalmi, has something similar. So he suggests this to answer the Rambam. The Rambam meant that there's a din of Kibur Aviyim, even if the parents are Rishoyim, that's during the lifetime of the parents. And the Gemara that says in the first daf, in Ezel Neshech, that the din of Kibur Aviyim does not apply if Aviv Rosho, because Nasa B'Amcha, Lo Yisar is only B'Oisei Ma'asa Amcha. If they're observant, if they're not Shomer Mitzvahs, then O'Oisei Ma'asa Amcha, then there's no Chiyuv Kavod. Then they have no Chiyuv Kavod. So that's the Gemara there happens to be talking Lach HaMisa. The parents died already. The parents died, so the mechabda, mechabda lachamosa doesn't apply if he's a Russia. Why should that be so? Why should it make a difference, mechayim or lachamisa? So the Marsham gives the explanation, I think. Mechayim, there's an element of bin adam lachavero. I owe a debt of gratitude to the parents, even if the parents are rishoyim. Still, I owe a debt of hakoras hatayv. But lachamisa, there's no shibudim to a mace. So Lachamisa, if there's really a din deraisa of Kibur Aviyim, the very soul of Mishnais raised the possibility maybe Mechabda Lachamosa is only with the Rabbana. But even if one should assume Mechabda Lachamosa is a din deraisa, it won't be Betoris Ben Adam Lachaver. There are no Ben Adam Lachaveres if the person is not alive. Is he not a Chaverim? No, she put him to a maze. So Lachamisa, it's only Ben Adam Lamokim because Shlosh Shut from Yesh Bo Adam. So if the parents were not Shomer Mitzvahs, the parents are Rishoyim. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, whoever's going to go show kavod to the parents, consider it as if they showed kavod to me. So he's not proud of this shutfus. So the Ben Adam Lamokim doesn't apply if the Aviv Rosha. It's only Ben Adam Machaver. Ben Adam Machaver is only Kozman that he's alive. So that could be that's the Rambam's opinion. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch has all the dinim of Ezu Kibud ve Ezu Moira. Kibud is to give service, and Moira is to show respect and so on. And all the dinim are well known till you get to the last Ramah in Siman Resh Mem. So the Ramah says the din of Kibud Aviyim doesn't apply whenever it's in conflict with a mitzvah. Let's say the father on Shabbos, my father asked me, could I please make him a cup of tea? Today Shabbos, I'm not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. He asked me, I should cook. He wants me to go shopping for him on Shabbos. You're not allowed to. So whenever there's a conflict between a real din and Kibud Aviyim, you're not allowed to observe the Kibud Aviyim. Even if it's only a din de Rabbanan, even if it's only a minik. Let's say the mother died and the father had, and the son is saying Kaddish. That's a universal minig by Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Everybody has that. It's based on a Zohar. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef in the end of Yeridei, Hilchos Avelos, that the children say, so the father says he gets the heebie-jeebies when he's in shul and the son is saying Kaddish, he's still alive. He does want the son to say Kaddish, but that's a universal minig. So that's not right. The Pischei Tshuva quotes there, it's not right. The father has no right to tell the son, I don't want you to say Kaddish for the mother because I feel uncomfortable. But let's say the son is fasting Bahab or practice that Amidus Chassidus that not a common practice. Most people don't have. Or he's fasting Yom Kippur Kotten. And the father is being honored. They're having some kind of a dinner in his honor. And the son is going to come. He's not going to eat. So it's going to look funny. So the father wants his son to eat with him. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's only not a widespread minig. It's only a chamidus chasidus that some people have. So then it's not right. The son should observe the kibbutz. The kibbutz should take precedence over his personal midas chasidus. But if it's a real minig, so then a real minig is binding. Minig toiv is binding mitam nedim and rabbanon. So he's obligated to observe the minig, and he can't observe kibbutz in that situation. So the Shulchan Aruch has at the very last Ramah in Siman Reish Mem, the Siman about kibbutz yeim. So the Ramah says, what if the son wants to marry a girl? And the parents are objecting. The parents are not happy about the shidduch. So the din of kibbutz aviyim doesn't apply. It may be that the parents have much more life's experience than the son, and it may be that it's going to be a tragedy. It'll be the biggest disaster for the son to marry the girl. Maybe he's doing a foolish or stupid thing by marrying a girl that his parents are not happy with. Maybe the parents have a better judgment than he does. Very often, now I belong to the parents' union, so very often the parents do have a better judgment than the son. Son fell in love with a good-looking girl, but she's missing a lot of other qualities. She only has the good looks. So, strictly speaking, the Ramah says that the mitzvah of kibbutz aviyim doesn't apply in a situation where the parents are not happy about the shidduch. So the Vilna Gaon quotes on that sif three different reasons why. So one explanation he gives is like this: the son is prepared to get married with the girl. He didn't meet the girl overnight. He must have been dating the girl for a while, and he decided it's not the only girl that he dated. He probably dated other girls. He decided he wants to marry this girl. So if the parents are going to prevent him from marrying the girl, then he's going to have to start all over again. It's not that he doesn't marry this girl; he's going to marry the other girl. It's either this girl or that girl, and the parents say no, so let him marry the other girl. It doesn't happen like that. It's going to take him another couple of months or another couple of years till he meets another girl whom he thinks is good for him. So then it's the equivalent of the parents telling him not to fulfill a mitzvah. Whenever the kibbutz aviyim is in conflict with a mitzvah, he wants to get married now to fulfill the mitzvah, getting married and starting to raise a family. And the parents, in effect, are telling him, postpone another couple of years till you meet somebody else. So whenever the kibbutz aviyim is in conflict with the mitzvah, so there's no din of kibbutz av. That's one explanation. Then the Be'er HaGra quotes, usually is quoting from earlier sources. He's quoting from the Rishonim and the Anachrinim who gave the reason for the din. So usually Be'er HaGra doesn't show what the Vilna Gaon's own opinion is. It shows he's quoting the early sources. A lot of times, you know, the Vilna Gaon himself didn't hold like that din in Shulchan Aruch. And the Be'er HaGra, he doesn't say anything. He's just giving the Mar Mekaymus for the din. So that's the one reason. Then there's another reason why the din is kibbutz av is mishal av lo mishal ben. Let's say my father is not a poor man, and the son is not a poor man. So the father tells his son, I'd like to go visit Eretz Yisrael this summer. So I'd like you to make all the arrangements. So I tell my father, okay, give me a credit card. And I'll call the hotel, and I'll call the taxis, and I'll call the airlines, and I'll get you a ticket and everything, and I'll get you a taxi, take you to the, everything will be arranged. So the father says, no, your credit card. You have the mitzvah, kibbutz aviyim, you pay for it. So the Gemara says, if the father has enough money, kibbutz av is mishal av, lo mishal ben. The son is not mechuyev to spend money from his pocket. If the father has, son is mechuyev to service the parents. Son is mechuyev to service the parents, even it means that he has to take off a day from work. They're going to dock him from pay. So in that case, it is mishal bein, but it's not that the bein is laying out money. The bein is forfeiting. The bein has to take care of the kibbutz av. He has to forfeit the salary that he would have gotten that day. So a little bit it is mishal bein, but it's a difference. He's not getting a salary. The docking him from the pay is not paying for the kibbutz av. So the Vilna Gaon quotes the second reason. Since Kibbut Abin Shalab Alom Mishal Bein, the son is not got money over here, but he's going to be hurt emotionally. He's going to be hurt, so he's not mechuyif to suffer that. Then the third explanation that the Vilna Gaon quotes is questionable. A machlokes. The Rishonim in the beginning of Yevamos have this. Kibbut Av only applies if the parents request of the children they should service the parents. Let's say the father tells me he wants me to become a doctor. I want to become a lawyer. I don't want to. They have no right to tell me what to do for a living. And they tell me they're going to call all the shots. They're going to tell me where I should live and how many children I should have and where I should send the children to school. I have a right to lead my own life. That's not kibbutz. Kibbutz is to service the parents. So whom I'm going to marry doesn't service the parents. Unless, let's say, the fellow's going to marry a black gioris, and the parents are going to be so embarrassed from all the girls, from all the Jewish girls in the world. The guy had to marry a schwarze gioris. So every time their daughter-in-law is going to visit about them, they're going to be embarrassed. All the people in the neighborhood are going to be talking about it. So, or let's say the whole neighborhood there misnagged them, and the son is going to marry a chassidish girl with a whole get-up, or the reverse, going to marry a misnagged, and everybody dresses one way, and the daughter-in-law is going to dress differently. It's going to be an embarrassment to the parents. So if it's taka going to be an embarrassment to the parents, so maybe there is a din of kibbutz, but usually when the parents are opposed to the shidduch, it doesn't reflect anything on the parents. It's just they're advising the child how to lead his life. So that's not included in kibbutz. So some achrenim say maybe it's not included in kibbutz, but it should be included in mora, cholik al dvarav. If the father says something and the son disagrees publicly, cholik al dvarav, that's a violation of mora. So some say that strictly speaking, is not kibbutz. Kibbutz is only to offer service to the parents. But maybe this is mora. But the pashta says it's not kibbutz and it's not mora either. Yeah, the din of kibbutz aviyim is a mitzvah that even applies bizman hazeh, believe it or not, benatar, it's in the aseres hadibros, and people act as if there never was such a mitzvah of kibbutz aviyim. We are all guilty of violation of this din. Yeah. So that's one of the dinim that was given kodem matan Torah was kibbutz aviyim. The Gemara points out because it says in Baruch Chanan, kabbutz aviyim ha-samecha, what's another din that was given clearly kodem matan Torah? Shabbos, because the mon came down and the mon didn't come down. Melechem Mishnah came down on Friday, and the mon didn't come down on Shabbos. So that's why we see beferish that the mitzvah of Shabbos was given before. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos that has 24 prokim. So towards the end of Shabbos and Perek. And Perek called Kisvei, the Gemara has a din of Shalashudas. So the Shalashudas is in Lechem Mishnah. So the Shalashudas Lechem Mishnah is Zecha Lamon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle of Mon, came down on the Midbar. And on Erev Shabbos, Lechem Mishnah came down a double portion. So Zecha Lamon, we say Hamoitzi on Shabbos Yantav over Lechem Mishnah. Yeah. The Vilna Gaon paskens like the Rashbo, the Rashban, the Gemara, and Kid. In Brachas interprets in the Gemara that when you have Lechem Mishnah, if you only cut one and you don't cut both of the challah, so the challah that you didn't cut is if it's still in the bakery. It's not mitzdarf to the Lechem Mishnah. You have to cut both challahs. Yeah. Most people don't have that practice, but many have that practice to be choshesh to the Don Legon, who paskens like the Rashba and learning pshat in the Gemara. That the Batsa Kulish Erusa, whenever he would cut Friday, not in Shabbos morning, in Shabbos Shulis, he would cut both of the Lechem Mishnah. So Lechem Mishnah is Zechalamon, and Shabbos Shulis is Zechalamon. Where does it say anything about Shabbos Shulis? So there's a pasuk in today's Sedra. Hichlu Hayom, Kishabbos Hayom, Lashem Hayom, Lashem Tzuhu, Basoda. So the word Hayom appears three times in the same pasuk. The Gemara suggests that maybe what it means is that they had to eat the mon and three meals on Shabbos, one meal on Friday night and two meals on Shabbos in the daytime, and that's the Shalosh Sudas that we have. On Yontif, the practice is based on the Rishami, there is no Shalosh Sudas, but there is Lechem Mishnah. That's a question. We assume that Man didn't come down, Beferish in the Gemara. Man did not come down neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. So why do we have Zecha Leman on Yom Tov? You only have Halecha Mishnah. You don't make Shabbos Shudas, why not? Either you should have both or neither. It's a good question. And Rabbi Shlomo Levilna has in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo on Erech Chaim, he quotes a question that was discussed by his Rabbeim. Why is it when you have Yantab Shechalias Erev Shabbos, you should need Lechem Meshulash, not just Lechem Mishnah, because three portions of Man would come down. The portion for Erev Yantav, and then the portion for Yantav, and the portion for Shabbos. So why don't we make a real Zecha Laman to have Lechem Meshulash? It's a good question. So here it's interesting, there in Perek in Kol Kisvei, in Masech HaShabbos, the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam both say the same thing, Halacha L'maaseh, that women are also mechuyev in Lechem Mishneh in Shalosh Sudos, despite the fact that it should have been a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and women should have been exempt. Tosfos has a machlokes with Rashi and Brochus, where the mitzvah, the rule of mitzvah shazman grama, women are potter, does it only apply to mitzvahs deraisa? Does it even apply to mitzvahs derabbanim? So Rashi holds that the rule only applies to mitzvahs deraisa. The pashtus is that the Lechem Mishneh and the Shalosh Shudas is not a din deraisa. Some Rishonim say Shalosh Shudas is deraisa, the pashtus is not so. This is only an asmachta, hayom, echlu hayom, kishabas hayom, Hashem. Pashtus says that it's only midirabbanim. So Tosfos holds that even on mitzvahs derabbanim, if the mitzvah says it has one grama, the women are exempt unless let's say, Mikra Megillah, Adlokas Neres Chanukah, or Heseba, or Abrakosis, because these four mitzvahs Medirabbanon are for the purpose of Pirsumei Nisa. So then you mechayev the women because Afen Haibi Osanes. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran both say we don't have this in Tosfos. The Ran quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, and he disagrees. So Rabbeinu Tam says he thinks that women are just as mechuyev as men in Lechem Mishneh and Shalosh Shudas, because Afen Haibi Osanes, the ness of the man was relevant for the women, the same as relevant for the men. So the women are machuyev afen haydes hanes and lechem mishneh and shal shudas. And the Ran says he thinks the Rabbeinu Tam is right, but he has a different reason. He doesn't think because afen haydes hanes. He thinks the reason why because zoch v'shama b'di berecha nemru ma'ashen apay yichol ledab avlo hoizen yichol ledishmaya. So Zoch v'shama b'di berecha nemru means that it's one, the Ran seems to have understood, it's one Kedushas Hayom that's mechayev in all of these mitzvahs. So since the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos is relevant for the women with respect to Shomar, because Shomar is a loisaseh, and loisaseh shazman grama women are mechayev. So since the Kedushas Hayom is relevant for the women, so it's all the way, so it's mechayev and Kiddush. Women are just as mechayved as men in Kiddush, even though Kiddush is his magrama, and whatever else the Kedusha Sayyam is mechayv. So the Kedusha Sayyam in the Rabbanon is mechayv in Shalosh Shudas and Lecha Mishnah. So it's included in the din of Zoch v'shama b'di berecha nemru, mishayeshna b'shama yeshna b'zoch. So bottom line, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran both said the same thing, but they gave two different reasons why. So Reb Shlomo Kluger, who lived around 100 years ago, lived in Galicia, where they had a lot of Hasidim in Galicia. By the Hasidim, it's a very common practice that the women are still in the kitchen when the husband is saying Hamoitzi on the Lechem Mishneh, and the women, when they come into the dining room, they say Hamoitzi on a slice of challah. They don't have Lechem Mishneh. And it's a common practice that the husbands are makbet to have Shalosh Shudas. They go to the Rebbe's Tish, or they have Shalosh Shudas at home, and the women are not makbet to have Shalosh Shudas. So the question is why? Reb Shlomo Kluger says, because he gives you the explanation in a tshuva. So he says, because the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't agree with the Ran, and the Ran doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Tam. So each one shut down the other one, shut down the other one's explanation. So he left with nothing. The Mamele, Shalosh Shudas, and Lechem Mishneh remains a mitzvah sester as Mangrama, and the women are not mechuyev. So Reb Chacham Avadya asked, what he waved the magic wand and he made the mitzvah disappear. But he says the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam just say exactly the same thing. They say the women, bottom line, they say the same. The women are mechuyev in Lechem Mishneh and Shalosh Shudas. They just argue what's the reason why. So because each one doesn't hold from the other one's reason, so the whole din falls apart. How can it be? But they both said the same thing. So that's not right. So more correct is that the women really should be careful about Lecha Mishnah. The husband should be careful to wait till the wife sits down by the table, till he says Hamotzi. So you Motzi everybody with the Lecha Mishnah. Yeah, what exactly is the machlekes over here where they say Afen Hay B'Yosanes? It's interesting. What's machlekes where they say Zocha B'Shamar? So it's interesting. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the last tshuva in Chelek Arachayim. It's not in the order. All the other tshuvas are in order. This one was a hashmat, apparently. So they asked him a question, why aren't we obligating women to put on tefillin? Because Afen Hay B'Yosanes, because it says in the parsha of tefillin that the one of the reasons for the mitzvah tefillin, we should remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, because in the parsha of tefillin it says about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then in the tefillah that we say Yerotzon, the tefillah you say before you put on the tefillin, so we mentioned that also, that we want to recall, we want to bring back to mind the Yitzias Mitzrayim. So if it's Zecher L'Nes, why don't you say Afen Hay B'Yosanes? So the Chasam Sofer gives an answer. And Rav Soloveitchik used to say over this answer in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, he said the same answer to Chasam Sofer, but he polished it up a little bit and he presented it even a little sharper than what the Chasam Sofer said. So the way Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said it over, if you look in the Chasam Sofer, it's exactly the same thing, but he said it over sharper. So he said there are two different inyanim, there's Zechel Anes and there's Pesumei Nisa. So tefillin, when you see a Jew wearing tefillin, is that the first thing that comes to mind? Yitzias Mitzrayim. No, if you'll open up the batim and you'll open up the parshias, you see that it says there about Yitzias Mitzrayim. But that's not the first thing that comes to mind. So that's only Zecher L'Nes. When you have Haseba and Arbekoses on Pesach night, that's for the sake of Pesumei Nisa. So we recite the whole Haggadah in conjunction with the Arbekoses and the Haseba. So you recite the whole Haggadah, so there's Pesumei Nisa. On Chanukah, when you light the Neres Chanukah, you say, Haneres Halalu Kodesh Hashem, Halalu Shamash Bahem. We tell over part of the story there. And Rav Soloveitchik used to think, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that from Masechet Sofrim. You should say Haneres Halalu. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the reciting of Haneres Halalu is Li'ikuvah. And he introduced the practice in his Maimonides, in the yeshiva where he used to have a minyan every day. So he used to practice, he introduced the practice that when they light Neres Chanukah in between Mincha and Ma'ariv every day on Chanukah, the whole tzibur should say HaNeres Halalu, because we want to have, everybody should be, I would say that it's a minig, the real din of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah is everybody's madlik bebeso at home. But the minig has it that you madlik the Besak Neses. So if you want to be madlik, in order to accomplish Pesumei Nisa, so you have to say Haneres Halalu. He thought that it's Likuvah. So he introduced the practice. All the people in the shul should recite Haneres Halalu together. And the same is on Purim. When you read the Megillah, women are Mechavim Avhen Abyos Hanes. You read the Megillah, you tell over the whole story. When you put on tefillin, you don't tell over any story. When a goy sees a Jew, when a guy sees a Jew wearing tefillin, he doesn't hear him say anything. He's not saying anything. It's not like Mikra Megillah. It's not like Haneres Halalu. It's not like CPTS Mitzrayim Haggadah. You're not explaining what. So the maximum you can say is that it's Zecher L'Nes, not Pesumei Nisa. But that's what Moshe Soloveitchik said. That's what it says in the Chasam Sofer's Tshuva as well. The only time you say, Apenai B'es HaNes, that women are obligated, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah sasesha hazman grama, that's if the nature of the mitzvah is Pesumei Nisa. But if it's only Zecher L'Nes, then they're not mechuyev. And how can you tell whether any given mitzvah is Pesumei Nisa or Zecher L'Nes? So Moshe Soloveitchik said, do you say the bracha Sha'asa Nisim? Sha'asa Nisim is only recited in connection with a mitzvah that's Lefarsem HaSanes. I on Pesach night, you have Haseba and Abrikosu. We don't say a bracha Sha'asa Nisim. So Moshe Soloveitchik said, some Rishonim have this beferish and their commentaries on the Haggadah, that on Leil Pesach, he said the bracha, that's the equivalent of Sha'asa Nisim. That takes the place of the bracha Sha'asa Nisim. There's no need to say the bracha twice. So since he says Shagyalonu, so you yotze the bracha Sha'asa Nisim. So that perhaps is why the Ran disagrees with the Rabbi Natam. By Shalashudas and Lecha Mishnah, it's a dead giveaway that this is, it's a Zechalamon, Zechalanes of the moment. You can't really say there's Pesumei Nisa. We don't tell any story. It's not like Mikra Megillah or the CPTS Mitzrayim, the Haggadah, or Aneris Aloli. You say something. Here you don't say anything. So maybe, true, the Lecha Mishnah and the Shalosh Sudas is Zecha Laman, but it could be it's not Pesumin Nisus. And maybe that's why the Ran disagrees with the Rabbi Natam. He doesn't like the Rabbi Natam's explanation of Afin Haibios on this. Yeah, what's the room to disagree? Why the Shlomo Kluge was right? The Ran disagrees with the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam disagrees with the Ran. What's the room to disagree with the Ran? The Ran says, Zoch v'shamu b'di b'recha nemru. It's one Kedusha Sayyim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out when we learned Yevamos. The Gemara points out there in the beginning of Yevamos that we had it just the other day in Psachim and Ardaf on Chav Zayin, where is it? Chav Chesam Beis, that we only darshan Smuchim and Mishneh Torah, and the rest of the Chumashim, Bereshis Tu Bamid, but we don't darshan Smuchim. The rest of the Chumash is darshan Hekish. If you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's a Hekish. And the Mishnah Torah, Chumash Dvarim, even if you have two dinim and two psukim that are next to each other, that's smuchim, so you treat that also like a Hekish. So Zoch v'shama b'di b'recha nemru, so I treat that also like a Hekish. Kol she'esh nem b'shamar, yesh nem b'zocha. So since shamar is a lo sesei, even though it's a lo sesei shazman grama, but all lo sesei, the women are mechuyev, so therefore the women are mechuyev in shamar, so they were mechuyev in zocher as well. So the Gemara there in the beginning of Yevamos points out that there are two psukim in Chumash Dvarim that are next to each other, namely the mitzvah of shatnas, the isser of shatnas, and the mitzvah of tzitzis. Kedilim tasal chol arba kamsus on a silver shatnas semer pishtim yachta. So the Gemara says, what's the significance of the smuchim? Why they're one next to the other? So the Gemara says, to tell you the din, this is the mocker for Kol HaTorah Kula, that when you have a beged shel pishton, the garment is made from linen, and the trelis has to be made from tzemer. The lovan can be the same material as the garment. The garment is pishtim, linen, so the strings can be linen strings. But the chut shel trelis, the chutim of trelis, have to be dafke tzemer. So when you tie trelis onto a beged shel pishtim, by definition, it's going to be shatnas. So are you allowed to do that? So the psukim are written one next to the other to teach you that ese decha lo sesei, that if you have tzitzis with trelis in it, and a beged is pishtim, and the chut has to be tzemer dyed with the dye from the chilosin. So then we say Esa Dechala Sese, and from here we derive to call it Tarkula that there is a din of Esa Dechala Sese. So the Tosfos Yishonim printed on the side of the page in Yevamos, and tiny letters, maybe Daf Gimel or Daf Dalet or something, in the very beginning of the Mesichta, is bothered with Akasha. Just like you say, Zoch v'shamar is treated like a Hekish, and we say Kol she'eshtem v'shamar, so the women are obligated to say Kiddush despite the fact the Kiddush should have been a mitzvah sesei shaman grama, women should have been pata. But I say, kol she'esh tam b'shama yesh tam b'zochar. So here in Chumash Dvarim darshan smuchim. So you treat the smuchim as if it would be a hekesh. So why don't you say, kol she'esh tam b'baal til b'shatnes yesh no b'mitzvah sitzis. The Gemara says there is a smuchim over here. You darshan that there's a connection between sitzis and shatnas. What's the connection? Esa dechaloy says. So why don't you darshan another thing? Because yeshna v'bal til b'shatnas, yeshna v'kum levosh tzitzis. So I should say women, just like they're prohibited from wearing shatnas, because that's a loy says. So women should be chayv in tzitzis. Nobody holds like that. The women are not chayv in tzitzis because it's a zman grama. And even though the women volunteered to observe all the other mitzvahs as a zman grama, they volunteered to shake a lulav and to listen to tkiyas, and to say Sfira Sa'imah with a brach, and to sit in Sukkah. But the Ramah Shah quotes that the women, the practice of the women, do not volunteer, not to wear tefillin, not to wear tzitzis. So why don't you say, women are mechuyev in HaTorah to wear tzitzis? Kol she'eshna b'bal til b'shatnas, yeshna b'kum levosh tzitzis. So the Tosfos Yishonim asks that kasha. So he says, kol she'eshna b'shama, yeshna b'zocha, only makes sense because it's one Kedushas Hayayim of Shabbos is Mechayev both. The Kedushas Hayayim is Mechayev Isa Melocha. The Kedushas Hayayim is Mechayev Kiddush. So since women are mechuyev in the Issa Melacha, because that's a lois esesh as mangrama, so therefore the women are also mechuyev in the mitzvah says of Kiddush, because it's one Kiddusha Sayyam that's mechayev everything. But by wearing tzitzis and not wearing shatnas, they have nothing to do with each other. They're nothing in common. You don't just say kol sheyeshnem is a yeshnem is a. So since it's not nothing in common, so that's l'chorid, that biur that the Tosfos Rishonim seems to be giving, that it's one Kiddusha Sayyam that asas b'malach, and that's mechayev and Kiddush. That sounds like the Ran. The Ran says that the correct reason why women are mechuyev, in Shalashudas and Lecha Mishnah, because it's one Kedusha Sayyam that's mechayev everything. And since the women, the Kedusha Sayyam is relevant to the women vis-a-vis the Issa Melacha, therefore it's relevant also not only with respect to Kiddush, it's relevant with respect to the Mitzvah Sesam and the Rabbanon of the Shalashudas and the Lecha Mishnah as well. The Rabbi Tam apparently doesn't hold like that. Why not? Rabbi Tam maybe holds differently. So here there's a Shaila that goes as follows. During this man of Tosefes Shabbos, a person, there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, Masifim Mechol Al HaKodesh. So Masifim Mechol Al HaKodesh, the Gemara has a pasuk by Yom Kippur, that on Yom Kippur, if a person does Malacha, there's an Issa Koris. If a person does Malacha or eats, there's Koris. If a person, there's a din of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. If a person eats or does Malacha during this man of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, there's a din deraisa, there's an Isser. But there's no chorus. So the question is, there is a concept of Tosefes Shabbos with respect to Issa Melacha. The Gemara has a shaila, can you say Kiddush or not? So the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin. So the Gemara says, yes, Rav Tzolish al Shabbos, Be'er Shabbos, Rav Davind is Mekabel Shabbos early, and he said Kiddush. If he said Kiddush, he started the meal also. So can he finish the meal also? Can he be out to the whole meal during this man of Tosefes Shabbos? So the Taz on Shulchan Aruch quotes, so there's two opinions in Tosefes, the beginning of Perek Arvei Psochim, the last Perek and Psochim. Tosefes shows from the Mishnah that you can't be out. Tosefes has this Kiddush, not everybody agrees with Tosefes, but on Shulchan Aruch, that's the only opinion that's quoted. Tosefes shows from the Mishnah that you can't be yotze Korban Pesach during this man of Tosefes Yontif. You can't be yotze Matzah during this man of Tosefes. But it says, V'ochlo sabasa balayla hazeh. And it says, Be'erev tochlo matzah. So the matzah and the Korban Pesach have to be eaten balayla. Be'erev and balayla. Even if you're going to be moisim mechol al HaKodesh, fine, but it's not superior to tomorrow morning. It's also Yontif. The first day Pesach is also Yontif. But the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach and the mitzvah of matzah can't be fulfilled during the daytime of the first day. It has to be dafka balayla. So even if you're mekabel kedushas hayom early, you can't be yotze the mitzvah of korban pesach or matzah during this man of Tosefes. So what about suda shabbos v'yontif? Is that also a din? You can't be yotze during this man of Tosefes. There's two opinions in Tosefes. So what's the shaila? Shaila is when you have a din masif and mechol al hakodesh. So you're not allowed to do malacha during this man of Tosefes, but there's no chorus. And if it's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat during this man of Tosefes, but again, there's no chorus. So it doesn't mean to say that all of the mitzvahs hayom anoig during this man of Tosefes, yom mekabel kedushas hayom b'mukdam, yom mekabel Tosefes, so all the dinim of Shabbos, all the dinim of Yom Tov HaChal, just that there's no chorus. Or they say, no, maybe it's only you can say Kiddush. The Gemara says, Rav Tzolish al Shabbos, Be'er Shabbos, he was Makabel Shabbos early, and he said Kiddush, and Kiddush al Makam Sudi, had to start the meal, but you can't be yotze the meal during Zman HaTosefes. The other mitzvahs hayom are not noig during this Zman HaTosefes. Why should Kiddush be different? So maybe that's Zoch B'Shamer B'Dibrech Nemru. Maybe that tells me not that all the mitzvahs hayom is one package deal. Either the Kiddusha Sayyam is relevant for you or it's not. That's how the Tosfos Rishonim seems to have understood there in the beginning of Yevamos. Maybe it's not the pshat. Maybe the pshat is that Kiddush is like the Birchas HaMitzvah on the Shvisa Mimalacha. So since there's an institution of Masif Mechol Al HaKodesh vis-a-vis Malacha, so that's why Rav Tzolish Al Shabbos Be'er Shabbos, so he was able to say Kiddush also, because during this Man of Tosefes, the Issa Malacha is Noyik. That's the whole relevance of Tosefes for Issa Malacha. And Kiddush is the Birchas HaMitzvah of the Issa Malacha. But maybe the other mitzvahs hayom are not dying. Maybe it can't be yotzei shalosh udas. Maybe it can't be yotzei the other mitzvahs either. So it could be that that's the machlokes. It's a double, it could be, Rabbi Shlomo Kluger is right. Could be it's a double machlokes between the Ran and Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam holds afen hay b'esanes, applies to shalosh udas and lechem mishnah. It could be the Ran disagrees. Could be that it shouldn't apply because it's only zechel mon. It's not pisumi nisa. It's not pisumi nisa. It's only zechel nes. So zechel nes, you don't apply afen hay b'esanes. It could be that Rabbi Natam disagrees with what the Ran said. The Ran understood Zoch v'shama b'di brecha nemru. It's one kedusha soyam that's machayev everything. And if by women the kedusha soyam is relevant, it's machayev them in isim aloche. Then it's machayev them in kiddush and shalosh udas and lechem mishnah as well. And it could be the Rabbi Natam holds no Zoch v'shama b'di brecha nemru is a very restricted hekesh. All it means is that kiddush is the brichas hamitzvah. Kiddush is connected with Isam Alochim. But it doesn't mean that all the mitzvahs hayayim is in one big package deal. Either you do have it or you don't have it. So it could be that this is possibly the Dalma Achleikas between the Ran and the Rabbi Natan. Rav Soloveitchik gave a Yortzeit Rosh on this topic once. He quoted the Tshuva of the Netziv. A woman benchlicht early on Erev Yontev. She was Mekabel Yontev early. And after she benched licht, then she was makabel isa malocha and kedusha sayem av yantiv. She received a telegram before the shkia that a relative of hers died, and she has to observe shiva. So he has a safek on yantiv. There's a chiyuv simcha, and because of the chiyuv simcha, so you're not allowed to observe avelus. So if a person finds out on yantiv that a relative died, he has to begin shiva after yantiv is over. But if the person, so this woman got a telegram, so she took off her shoes. She was already Mekabel Yantav, but she took off her shoes to be Noeg Avelus after she was already Mekabel Kedushas Hayom of Yantav, because the din is that if the Ovel began Shiva a little bit before Yantav, so comes Yantav and cancels the rest of the Shiva. So the question was whether she was that proper or not. When she was Mekabel Kedushas Hayom of Yontif, is Tosefes Yontif only Chal Benegeh to Issa Meloche and for Kiddush, because Kiddush and Issa Meloche are connected, or is it Chal Benegeh to all the Dinim? So that seems to be the Machlokes, the Ran and the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam holds that all the Dinim are Chal during, all the Dinim are interconnected. And the Rabbi Natam perhaps holds not only Zoch v'Shama means that there's a connection between Kiddush and Issa Meloche. It does mean that so if you're Moshe Michal Ala Kodesh, and the Gemara says you can say Kiddush, yeah, because Kiddush is connected with Issa Melacha. But it could be that the other mitzvahs Hayam don't begin from Tosefes. Very good. So these are two of the mitzvahs that were given. Kodesh Matan Torah this week says, Shom Sam Lachok HaMishpat. The Gemara says Dinim are given. But the Gemara says Shabbos was given. The Psukim say Shabbos was given, a Kibbut Aviyim was given, and according to the Mechilta, Paraduma was given, unless you assume that it's a misprint, unless you assume that it's a mistake. Okay, everyone should be healthy. Tomorrow morning, we'll be at 10:30. Whoever is interested will go the rest of the Parsha. There's a lot more in the Parsha. Okay, next week on Sunday, we will continue. We left off very important Gemara. We left off in the middle of the Gemara.